Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to Shifting Paradigms. I am your host, Jess Ananda. We are now experiencing the Great Awakening as we are shifting paradigms from fear-based and separation to unconditional love and unity consciousness. My intention is to create a safe container for us to heal collectively during these massive global shifts. I am here to inspire, activate, guide, and remind you that greatness is within. Trust, surrender, and be ready to take action because we are the shift and the shift is now. On today's episode, we have Samira Maharaj, also known as the Goddess of Miracles, a psychic medium, a Reiki master healer, guided meditation facilitator, and energetic therapist from Toronto, Canada. She combines her naturally inherited maternal gifts with both ancient and new healing modalities to create a personalized healing experience for each of her sessions. Understanding the importance of spreading light, Samira is devoted to creating safe spaces to learn and share vital information much like this. Welcome to the show, Sistar. I'm so grateful to have you here with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So today we have Sister Samira with us, and I would love for you to share a bit about yourself to our listeners, please.
Okay. So my name is Samira, and I'm from Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And I've lived here my whole life, and I've traveled quite a bit, met a lot of beautiful souls, but I've lived here. And I am a healer of many sorts. For anyone that knows me online or in my healer persona, I go by the Goddess of Miracles. Because I believe that's a completely different entity from Samira entirely. So, yes, her name is the Goddess of Miracles. And I'm here to share my story of, communion between both. So, yeah.
I love that, the communion of both. We'll definitely have to get into that one. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Sistar, for introducing yourself. And it's truly a powerful time for us to be connecting and for us to actually have the ability to connect our voices worldwide, right? I'm here in the US, in California, you're in Canada, and we're able to connect with so many beautiful souls from all parts of the world. Wow. We're in the beginning of a major unfoldment, a cosmic unfolding that we're seeing right now on a micro level, which would be what we're seeing right now is this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And everything that is arising, that is coming to the surface, right? All of the shadows, everything that's been hitting is now coming into the light for us to really reflect and review. Mm-hmm. And to really realize, why are we in this situation, right? It's really powerful. Mm-hmm. So I just, I wanted to bring that up because, any time that you and I have connected, it's always been so intense, right? It's never.
Yeah. Always right to it.
Yeah, it's intense things. And just looking back at my life, like growing up as an early kid and a young adult, I never imagined that I would actually have the honor to connect with other reflections like
you, like myself, because back then it was just like a whole nother world. Like just looking back 10 years ago from now, mm-hmm. it's a whole different world. To now be able to be connecting with other individuals who have very similar downloads to me that I have and experiences mm-hmm. and purpose. I mean, this is incredible. mm-hmm. It's incredible. And it's been a journey. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear your story of how you began to tune into these abilities, these psychic abilities of yours that we all have, right? But I want to know, and I would love for you to share this because I know that a lot of our listeners are beginning to awaken to this inner wisdom and these inner powers and abilities. And I know that by you sharing your story, it will really bring more clarity.
Thank you for putting it like that. That makes the that makes the mirror feel very authentic. So thanks. And it is a very beautiful and profound journey. And, you know, it is what we're all in some way, shape, or form being called to do at this time in the world. With everything that's shifting, like, you know, our world will never be the same again after what we're experiencing. So it's calling a different version of us to awaken. And it can be a little chaotic, you know. Awakening for anyone can seem chaotic, I think. It doesn't matter when it happens. Like, you know, for the large bulk of people that I know, it happened in 2012. That was also, like, I guess you could say my reawakening in 2012. But it's been a journey since then. And then for others, it was before that even, you know. So the experience of awakening can always seem a little dark at first, yeah. You know, I like to think of it as like we're opening our third eye up. And when you awaken, you know, you are still in the womb. And that can be a little bit scary because you don't know where you are. You don't know what's going on. Nothing really makes any sense. You know, nothing's really being revealed to you other than like what's right in front of you. And that could seem overwhelming, right? And then now all of a sudden your third eye is awakened and you're developing these like ultra sensory gifts and abilities out of nowhere. And it's like, what am I doing? Why can I hear people's thoughts? Why am I having these crazy dreams? You know, like all kinds of things. That's always fun. Or not.
Right. It depends on it depends on the perspective of the individual. Right.
Yeah. And how they feel about it. Right. Like if you're going into it and you're, well, I mean, everybody thinks it's super exciting to hear about. They're like, oh, really? Like I could have these abilities. And it sounds super cool because it sounds like an X-Men or like, you know, some like Marvel superhero or something like that, you know, it's relatable in some way. But then when it actually starts happening to you, you're like, oh my goodness, like it changes everything about what you've ever known about the world. It changes everything of what you've ever known about yourself. You see yourself different. You realize that your purpose is, it has to be more because you're able to do more now all of a sudden. And then you look around you and you look at the people in your life or the people that, you know, affect your life and you start to realize how small they are in the cosmos of things. It's just like you. And then, you know, your morals and what you believe in and your view on the world starts to change. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know, how wonderful it is to feel connected to things that you didn't feel connected to before, like nature and, you know, all of the elements, like, you know, on a unique individual level, like, you know, you will go through these experiences of connecting with each of the elements and all of a sudden start to recognize like planetary influences and feel connected to them like you never did before because you're everything. Right? And your everything is expanding. And all of a sudden, you're becoming aware of chakras. And you're like, you never thought about chakras before. You thought it was just some hippy dippy, you know, hoo-ha stuff. And it's like, yeah, right. I have energy portals. Like, would you watch the Avatar? Like, yeah. Okay.
Right. They
do have it in the Avatar. So the information is always there for us. It just depends on and how we're perceiving and what we're looking at, right? And yeah, like it's I think for me the journey really began at a huge loss. It started off with loss. It didn't start with, you know, I inherited this gift and everything was just this like magical wonderland. Like, no, it was absolute turmoil when I was reawoken. And that was at 21. And it was like a huge shock to my system. I literally felt my soul leave my body. And then that's how I realized that I had a soul and that it came back inside of me. And that I was like, well, what was that? And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't explain it. So, you know, I start trying to read the books like the Eckhart Tolle's and the, you know, watching spirit science on YouTube and like whatever resources I can find, you know, like anything. I'm like, tell me what happened to me. Why am I super sensitive all of a sudden? And, you know, from that mentality led me into the journey that led me to here. So it's really funny, but you know, something that just came to me as I was explaining that part, I was like, oh, I want to start at the reawakening. But then I was like, you know, no, I also want to acknowledge that a lot of us, myself included, have always had the gift, have always had it. And in particularly when we were children, we did, you know, when we were running around and in our imagination and in our inner child. Like I remember being a little kid and we lived in a house where I grew up. And I had this backyard and I would crawl through the basement window into my backyard onto my deck and sneak around the side of the house. And even though it was just the side of the house, it was the adventure of crawling out of the window before anyone caught me and like, you know, like running around and like being all stealthy. And like, I felt like I was in my own world. Like I felt like, you know, I was really escaping whatever dull reality I didn't want to be in. And as soon as I got outside and I was in nature and I was like in the sun and in the grass, like I was so explorative, like, you know, like everything was vibrant. It was, everything was so magical. I could look up at the sky and look at the clouds and be enamored by them. I'd be amazed by the flowers, by the bees, but everything was so happy. I felt so connected as a kid. And I remember like this one specific day of just playing outside and I was like, it's funny, our memory makes these imprints, right, for us to refer back to later in life. And I remember that day so vividly. And it was just like that, exactly as I explained to you right there. It was like just me running around as this kid. And in that moment, I was all of the clears, you know. I had all of my clears activated, my clairvoyance, my clairsentience, audience, and cognizance. And I'm learning that, you know, smell is also one of the clears as well. People don't talk about that one. But you can smell and it'd be like hypersensitive. Like you'll smell like, you know, somebody that isn't like, you know, somebody that has departed from this realm. You'll like smell like the tobacco that they used to smoke or like, you know, the flowers that they used to like. And you'll be like, like, you know, like that's a multi-sense that people don't talk about. But I'm just thinking of that one these days.
I agree with that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or like a cologne or something. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have your four clears that, you know, are active when you're a kid and you're able to connect to all of these things that you don't even realize you're connecting to, you know, like, you know, when somebody is super upset, you're so empathetic, like you're clairsentient as ever, like, you know, your mom's upset, you'll feel her, like your dad or something is having a bad day, you'll know, like before you even get to home, you're like, dad's not having a good day today. Like, you know, or you'll just feel anxious and you're like, this is not going to be a good day. Like, you know, like you can feel what's going on around you, but no one had names for it. You were just a kid then, right? No one was calling it anything. We didn't know, right? But now we're these adults, or we come into our adulthood and we are reawakening these powerful gifts that we're just like, you know, on sleep mode for all these years, because I believe at a certain age, you know, we fall into like a state of sedation, you know, I don't know how to explain that. Like, it's like a state of sedation. Maybe it's the water or it's the food or, you know, it's so being here for so many amount of years and whatever we're exposed to takes a toll on our bodies. At like age. Yeah. The programming starts to kick it like between 4 and 7, you know,
major time.
And like, those are usually the ages that like, you know, that innocence gets like swept away. It's between 4 and 7. And exactly. Then things start to get really wonky up until like we're like 18 to 21. And it's very interesting that these are like, it's so similar across the board that we experience these things in the same age brackets, you know, like it's like these within these time spans, like myself and so many other people that I have connected with have told me, oh, like I experienced my first trauma at 4 years old or 5 or 6 or 7 years old, you know, but it's always within this little, you know, little bracket there. And then the reawakening comes between like 21 and like 17. I want to say 18, but like 17, you know, and then we just like wake up to something else. It's like suddenly the programming has to shift. And then all of a sudden stuff starts to seep in there, you know, like, mm-hmm. And then we just have these remembrances and start remembering who we are. But then we catch the next wave, which would be like, you know, like our Saturn return period, which is like 27 to like 31, that little bracket there, you know, like people have profound shifts in their life at that time. But is it like in Hollywood, there's like that, is it the 27 or the 28 club, 27 club of like celebrities that like just like committed suicide?
Oh, yeah, 27. Or at 27. Yeah. Yeah, because they died at 27.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
like Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin,
yep,
and a few others. Well, many others, yeah.
Many others.
Seven Club, because they all died at age 27.
Yeah, and that's just before your Saturn return hits, right?
And they were like, yeah, that Saturn. This is gonna. We're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to do a podcast on the Saturn return because yeah. literally, we were just talking about that and. At 27, I went through a major ego death at like year 28 being our year one. I mean, that's what led me right now into where I'm at right now, which I'm in my closing up my Saturn return with. I'm 31 right now. But yeah, 27 and 28 were pivotal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm moving into my 29 just now. And I'm like, I'm right at the tail end of my 28. And I'm like, okay, are things settling down now? Are we getting calmer? Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
27, 28 have been wild.
They're wild. I mean, and it's beautiful because I feel like those particular years, like from 27, especially towards the end of 27, as you're getting closer to 28, and you're going through the whole years of your Saturn return or major, because these are like major life lessons, depending on where our planets are placed in our birth chart and what lessons we've been reviewing. But this is the time where we're literally reviewing the main hard lessons of our life, because it's taken us our whole life to basically our whole like 28, I think it's like 27, 28 to 30, 31, right? And so that's what this is like. We face a lot of trials, but it's beautiful because at least now we know that everything we had to experience our whole life, and then now being in this deep time of review and action, that we can now live our dharma.
Yeah, it's finally like coming around full circle, and we're like experiencing things that we've been wishing to experience this entire time. Like abundance is coming in strange ways, you know, like I feel for the first time in my life that like I'm in a very good place in like all aspects, even though like there's trials and tribulations happening outside in the world. Internally, I feel great. And I'm like, wow, of all the times to feel to feel centered, now when there's so much chaos happening in the world, I feel the most centered.
And this is literally the reason why it was necessary to have all of those dark night of the souls, you know. Yeah. And again,
after
like you were sharing,
after another.
Yeah, right, just multiple. and actually going back to the story of how you became reawakened to your psychic abilities, that you were saying that it was from like, it went from something that was like a death or like something that may have seemed tragic, right? That caused this type of awakening within you.
Right. Yeah. And it was a trauma for me. And I know it's not that for everyone, but for a lot of people it is, because it forces us into a space where we have to connect to something deeper that is outside of our regular resources, I feel. And when we have to go into that deep place, and find ourselves, we find, well, that is what it is. We're finding our connection to ourselves. yourself, right? We have no choice. There's nowhere else to go. No one understands you. No one's understanding what you're feeling. You're so alone. It's a tough one to navigate. So, that's kind of how it happened for me. And I searched for answers at first. I didn't know what I was looking for. And then eventually it just kind of led me to connecting myself personally. It led me to connecting to the universe as a whole. Like I just say the universe because that's what I refer to the all as. Like however you want to look at that, you know, there are many different names for it and for that feeling of connectivity to something far vaster than we could ever fathom. And my name for it is the universe. And then when I started creating this relationship with the universe and it became very personal for me, I felt like I was connected to everything even more on an even deeper level. So it was like, I was kind of creating like a love story with the universe and myself, you know. It was my own little romance that I was creating where I was like, you love me and I love you. And, you know, I'm going to do something nice for you today. So, you know, I would like do something nice for another human or like do something nice for like the earth or just like an act of service in some way. Mm-hmm. I started to initiate these acts of services because I understood that every time that I would do something nice for the universe would always do something nice for me. And it would be something that I could never even imagine. It would be so much better than I could ever even imagine. And that was the state of being that I just kind of started to flow with it. It was super innocent. Super, super childlike, you know, just very free. And from there, I was led to a bunch of readings, and then Reiki came about. And Reiki came into my universe very quickly. It was like almost like it came in and taught me all the things that it needed to know. And I was like, okay, now go figure it out. And I was like, okay, like, you know, like, so sure, let's see what we're going to do with this. And so Reiki led me to doing exactly what I was doing with the universe, except now I was doing it for individuals and people. And I was using a system that was ancient and working with their chakras and helping people understand why they had blockages or, you know, there were these things that were preventing them from fully connecting to their energy body or their spirit in the way that they could. And as I would talk to them, we were both realizing that I knew a lot about them that I didn't know before. So it was also a learning experience for me when I first began of like how deep the rabbit hole could really go. And as I started to practice more and more and offered myself for service more and more, I started to develop new tools and new gifts every single time. And like, even if it was a little bit, if it was something small, I would notice that there was a difference. I would notice something different in my energy work. So, you know, at first I would see energy that was dense or negative as just like, you know, like it looked like it would either be like airy, dark, dense matter or and like kind of look like a dark fog, or it would be like, you know, kind of sluggy and like glumpy and like, you know, I'd have to like scoop it out because it was so like dense, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking at these things, I'm understanding what these things are meaning. Like clear cognizance is when you understand through your third eye things that you wouldn't have any reason to know. You just download it, right? So mm-hmm. I'm understanding the purpose that these things are serving as I'm witnessing them. And eventually those, like that dark matter, I mean, it still exists. It's still there. I still see it, but I started to see a lot more with it. And that led me to understanding things like archons and archonic energy. And, you know, what we see as insects here in the 3D realm exists in the ethereal or the energetic realm. And they are called archonic energy. But we also know them as parasites, right? They look like little bugs. And yeah, they quite literally like attach to us and suck our energy. And like, you know, if we think of them as malevolent, then we invoke a vibration of fear. And I don't like to feel like, oh my God, like there's little bugs inside of me. Like, I don't know, that's weird. I don't like that feeling, you know, and I don't like to plant that seed inside of anyone. So how I explain it is just like an insect needs to eat, you know, they look for food. For a parasite or for an archon, what they eat is light. So where you hold within yourself the most light, you are bound to have archonic energy feeding on you. Why? Because we weren't taught how to protect our energy bodies. We were never taught how to, you know, protect ourselves in that way. We didn't even know that was possible, but it's so necessary, because otherwise we're a buffet table, and those of us who have the most light are the ones that have the most tetherings, right? So, you know, and you and I can relate to this, because this is something that has been a huge part of the work, right?
Completely. And I'm really happy that now you're talking about this, because I really want to bring more light upon this topic to have our listeners dive a little more into this, as this is very important information to share, I feel, especially right now with what is currently going on. And I mean, to the form of how it's manifested into this coronavirus and all of this insanity that is happening around us right now, right? It's from this archonic energy. And I would love for you to explain to our listeners a little bit more of that, please.
Yeah. I love this topic. This is so great, you know, because, we don't get to talk about it much. And it's always like a thing of like, you know, you don't want to throw people too far over the edge, because, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in at first. But we don't really have time for that, you know, that type of fear anymore. We have to talk about these things, because if we're trying to evolve and we're trying to upgrade, we're trying to rewrite our programming and, level up our DNA to match the vibration that we're being blasted with nonstop. Like, we have to be aware of what is happening on all of the dimensions or all of the levels of everything, right? And I always like to bring it back to I like to bring it back to, we have four pillars of life that we're always striving to balance. We have the mental, physical, emotional, and our spiritual or energetic, right? And if one of those things are out of whack, then it makes us pretty much like a nesting ground for our iconic energy. You know, like, all you need to do is be off your game in one of them, and that will be the one that, you know, you manifest all of the turbulence, all of the blockages, all like, and so this is why we always want to be taking accountability for ourselves and always want to be taking accountability for where we're at. And knowing how to check in with ourselves. Like, you know, you could be feeling amazing on the physical, but how's your mental today? You know, how are your emotions feeling right now? You know, like, did you do anything to connect to spirit? Did you do anything to connect to yourself today, energetically, right? Like, we got to always be checking in once a day and make that a part of our routine, because this is it's our armor, you know, like and I think that's what, like, a whole part of this COVID thing is, right? Like, we're being isolated because we have to sit with ourselves. First, we had to look at our shit, and it was like, you know, the dark night of the soul for many people, even those who have been doing energy work and the light work and all of these things for all this time, still had to look at themselves, probably had to look at themselves more than they've been looking at themselves, you know what I mean? Definitely. And so we had to go through this whole look at myself, understand where I'm at, understand, you know, where I'm off and what isn't working for me, where am I not grounded, you know, and then figure that out. And now I feel like we're starting to move into a state of like, okay, we've seen it, we've acknowledged it, we've made the conscious effort to start working through it. And now it's like, okay, like, I feel like it's action time, you know, like it's very much action time. Like, for those who follow astrology, like, you know, Mars is in Aries, it's in its home planet. Like, that is the planet of war, that is the planet of fire. Like, it's action time, you know, we're going to have to step into it. And, you know, with action also comes a little bit of fury and rage, repressed, you know, feelings about things, and all of that stuff's going to come to light as well. And what is truly yours, I think, will also come to light. And what is the archonic energy will also come to light, because a lot of us have been operating from programs that have been implanted in us from the archons to tell us that, like, you know, this is upsetting me, or this is wrong, or I need to be angry about this, or I'm mad at this person, or this situation is unfair. And it keeps us in these loops, you know, where we're constantly giving our energy over and over and over and over to this thing that we have no freaking control of. It's so outside of us that we're just like, we're feeding into it constantly, right? So I think that we're moving into a stage of awakening to what is ours and what isn't, and actually taking accountability to heal the things that are our own and to release the things that are simply not, you know? And that's where we all want to be, ideally. That's where we want to be, because we got a clear space, you know? If we want all the ascension, and oh gosh, so the love and light community, you know, bless them. But like, everybody likes to talk about, you know, like, let's evolve and be spiritually awakened, and I want to ascend. And it's like, okay, but did you do the shadow work though? Because you're still dense, okay? You're not going anywhere. And like, that's the part, yes. Right? It's like, we got to release that density, release that. And like, here's the thing, the ego is not the enemy. It's the density of the ego that makes it feel like it's the enemy. You know, the ego's our friend. It's here to protect us. It's been doing its job. You know, it may be a little toxic sometimes, but it's our friend. And if we make time to understand it and to come into communion, there's that word again, coming into communion with our shadow and our light, then we truly know ourselves. We truly know ourselves. We know our power. We know our strength. We know our grace. And we know how to fight. We know how to fight back. We know when something's wrong, and we know how to stand up for ourselves, because we have to know how to stand up for ourselves. We can't just clasp our hands together when our energy is being siphoned. That's not how you fight back. You know what I mean? You have to know how to protect yourself. And, you know, I always say this, and this is a quote that I'll use 1,000 times over, but even the archangels had swords. Look at how many deities across the globe carried weapons. They understood that there is spiritual warfare. It is a real thing. And we can't act like it doesn't exist, you know? So Isis or Kuan Yin still knew how to fight, you know? And they were goddesses of love and compassion. Like, you know, like, they had their moments where they also were warriors and warrior goddesses. So,
right. Like, let's look at all the Hindu, the pantheon of them. All of them have weapons. And we see, yep, Vishnu, and they all have weapons. I mean, like, look at Kali, always just, you know, ready to destroy the evil Shiva. Like, yeah. They're,
yeah,
armed.
All of them. Yeah, they're ready. They know that this is what we live in. And any of the pantheons, like, you look at, like, they all have their magic, and they all know how to prepare for war.
And it looks like they're indigenous, right?
Right? Warriors. Like, straight warriors. And they were land warriors, you know, like, they were physically warriors, you know, and,
yes,
and still are. And that is what we're awakening to. Like, what is ours? And these are the DNA activations that are coming into awakening for us, right? Like, remembering who we are, remembering how to defend ourselves, remembering what our gifts are, and how to offer something that we've been sedated and forced to forget about ourselves. But in order for us to do that, we have to wipe the software clean. We gotta reprogram entirely and know what isn't ours, right? And exactly.
Exactly. And I completely agree with you. So a light worker, I mean, you can only shine the light after you have gone into your shadow self and shined the light within your own self, because when you shine a light, you're able to see in the darkness, right? Yeah. So only then can you truly be a light warrior, because now you've been able to, within your darkness, you've been able to come to that light and realize that. And there's levels to it, of course. You know, there's levels to it, because we're always... The more work we put in, the more we're going to know. And it never stops. It never stops. But there's some people that we do see in the community that, you know, I mean, it's part of their karmic lesson that they may have this. Yes. Well, it's all connected. Yeah, it's all connected. But, you know, like, a lot of times where we can get caught up with the spiritual ego and then think like, oh, like, I already am this and that. And then people just want to be the teachers and they don't want to be the students. Well, the people that we really see that get caught up with this, it's just part of their karma that they need to transcend in this life. And if they don't realize it in this lifetime, then they do get caught up too much in the light, just the love in the light. And they have a hard time acknowledging the shadow. And that, like, I feel like we all have ways, or we each experience that to our own level. Like, I, for my whole life, I would run away from wanting to admit anything after a while, even if I felt a lot of suffering, but I wasn't ready to face it. And it, when I was ready to face it, that was in 2017, where I was ready to figure out, what was I so afraid of? Like, what did I fear that I didn't give myself permission to feel? Mm-hmm. And that's where all of my shadows began to come out. But at that point, I knew I was ready to go all in, and I was fearless about it, and I was ready to sit down with myself and do the work and face whatever it is that I have to face. And a lot of people fear that, right? They fear looking in the mirror and seeing that they're the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's a hard pill to swallow, right? It's a hard one to swallow, like seeing yourself. And sometimes looking at yourself is like, you know, you're not going to get that pretty reflection. It's not a part of it, right?
Exactly. What happened?
I was just gonna make a funny reference, because here in Toronto, in our spiritual community, it's like there's this whole big wildfire that's set up in flames. You know, like people calling people out in the spiritual community for having spiritual egos right now. So like, there's a lot of pointing the finger, and everybody's pointing the finger at this person and that person, and it's just really funny to me, because it's like, you know, it's something that, when you're aware of yourself, you can see from the outside. But then, you know, you're looking at those who are in it, and you're like, well, one day when the time comes, they'll be able to see themselves. And then it's just hilarious that it's all happening at once. You know, it's not like it could have been graceful. It would have had to be something explosive for everyone to be like, I don't do that. You do that. No, you do that. I don't do that. Like, and it's really funny to me. It actually is so funny to watch. It's like, it's a bunch of inner children right now that, you know, are being told on, that someone's tattletaling on, and they're like, hey, you just told on me. You can't tell on me. Like, you're a tattletale.
Oh no, that's sad. And you know what? That's the archonic energy, right? It's all this trauma. That's just energy. That's just stagnant there. That's super dense. And when we're pointing fingers at others, we don't sit with ourselves and really heal and become aware of these energies within us that we're holding that are preventing us from feeling lighter and feeling love and more peace and moving forward and really living the life that we came here to experience, right? We get too caught up in the past, and these energies, if we're not aware of them, then we become a slave to these energies, right? Because they're just leeching off of you, just like you said, that they feed off of the light, right? Mm. What I have a question. So what would be, since you've worked with a lot of clients that have had a lot of these types of energies that you've helped with removal, right? What are some things that you have like recommended them, like ways they can shield and protect themselves from this archonic entity's energies?
Ultimately you want to get an idea of what's going on in your energy body. It's like when you go to the doctors and you kind of just like want to get a general test done, and you're like, okay, like where are my vitamins and my minerals at? It's kind of like how you would do that, but with the chakras, right? It's like, okay, like you know, where are my chakras at in this moment, and which one's the powerhouse? Because it's the powerhouse chakra that's going to have the most attachments and the most things trying to siphon it. And then once you have an idea of what that is, you know, you can either seek healing from someone else or take it upon yourself to do the healing work for you. And that's anyone's journey to choose for themselves. There's no right or wrong way to do it. But, you know, we can use so many things. Like you can use sound, you can use like binaural beats or crystal bowls to like help you ground and help you, like, you know, sound is a huge way to bring up uncomfortability in archonic energy. Rattles, they hate rattles. Like, you know, so like anytime that you would go to like I went to a few sweat lodges, and like, you know, there's always like a tambourine or a rattle that's in like the sweat lodge, and like, you know, they'll sing and they'll play the instrument because they hate that sound, that vibration, right? Because it's music, it's melodic, right? So it works against them. So sound is a really good way, immersing yourself in sound and music and dancing freely, like, you know, unintoxicated, but just letting your body go through the flow is a really powerful way to make it physical. And then, you know, other ways is like, you could do energy healing. You can use the violet flame, So, you know, recently I learned that there's like some debate about the violet flame. And for me, I have to say it has always worked. And anyone that I have taught how to use it, it has always worked for.
I love it.
Yeah. I love it too. I don't have anything negative to say about it, but I guess like, you know, it's always up to interpretation. Anyone can do their research and find what they need to. But for me, visualizing yourself immersed in a violet flame is super powerful. It completely transmutes dense energy into space. Violet is the highest color frequency that we can perceive with the naked eye. So when we envision that anything doused in fire, which is the element of purification, we are naturally cleansing. So that could be ourself, could be our space, could be a loved one, could just be like, you know, the subway or like the bus stop or whatever, you know, like, and it's a nice little thing to put that out there into the universe to clear energy. Another one is envisioning, these are two of my favorites. So envisioning yourself in your own light grid. So everybody has their own light grid and it'll take on whatever form and whatever shape it's meant to for you in that moment. It can change. It's always subject to change if it wants to, but it's about like tapping in and visualizing this like shape, whatever form it is, around you, completely encompassing your body and your auric field, and envisioning this as your protective field of light, you know, and the more that you visualize this before you leave the house or surrounding you, the more you really do protect your auric field, because it's all in the mind, right? You're attracting that protective energy towards you like a magnet. So it's super powerful. And if you had like something like Reiki, you could use Reiki to empower that. And it's, you know, mega powerful. So that's a way. And then, you know, one of the last ones that I love a lot for protection immediately or to block as a defense is to envision yourself sitting within an obsidian pyramid. So this is like actually an ancient Egyptian method that was used to protect when meditating or, you know, when being exposed to spaces that make your energy susceptible to negative, you know, anything negative, you would visualize yourself sitting in an obsidian, the center of an obsidian pyramid. An obsidian is, it completely deactivates anything trying to penetrate inwards, but it also maintains all of your energy inside. So you don't really, you're not exuding and you're not receiving, you're not releasing anything. Like it's all staying outside or inside, and that's it. There's nothing that penetrates the wall of the obsidian pyramid. And if there's somebody that's around you or you're in a space where there is negative energy and you visualize yourself in an obsidian pyramid, you will start to see things pop off around you and you'll know real quick who's been trying to siphon your energy. They'll be like, wait, what's happening? Hey, over here. Like, you know, it's so wild, but it's like immediate. So those are three things that I would use. And none of those require like any attunements. And like anybody can do them at any time, which is great because, you know, it's often like, I hate the misconception that you have to go to a healer or that you have to have all of these certificates and things to protect yourself. No, you can access these tools at any time, no matter who you are. Just all you need is a pure intention and the belief in yourself, the trust in yourself that what you're doing is going to work. That is it.
I love that. And I love the examples that you use because I love those ones. And that pyramid, the city one's really powerful. That one's super mm-hmm. powerful. And I personally, like I mentioned, I love using the violet flame. I've never had any problems with it. I've always resonated with it. So yeah, everyone can discern for self, see what works. And definitely another thing that I do want to bring up is that yes, like a healer isn't meant to be someone that you rely on. You know, a healer, a real healer will activate the healer within you to teach Absolutely. You what you already have within. It's more so to remind you, a reflector Yep. of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like awakening the magic within everyone as the magic was awakened within you. Like that's the beauty of being a healer or a light worker. It's like your everything that you touch turns to light, you know, and that light remembers itself with that touch. And like, that's how I think of it. You know, I'm like spreading my fairy dust everywhere. I'm like, and a little awakening for you and a little bit of love for you. And like, you know, you're just throwing it all around and you're like, everybody gets some until, yeah. you know, you need to recharge. And then that's also very important. So
definitely that's a very important one, of course, to protect your energy. And just, this is why you did mention and gave the beautiful example of all the the deities that we can reflect on from all cultures, how they all carried a form of weapon and how they all represented warriors, because yeah, this is a spiritual warfare and we need to learn how to protect ourselves on all dimensions, especially in this dimension. This is where we use all of it, right? Activate all ourselves. And we have to know that that's what boundaries are about, healthy boundaries and taking care of self, right? That's a very important thing. And to shield our energy, especially when we are these light beings on a mission, we do carry certain light codes and archons love it. And this is why we tend to attract the most darkness and why our inner healer becomes reactivated through deadly initiations that we experience through our lives. Mm-hmm. That's what is that, the shamanic initiation, right? Like the healer initiation, where you have to go through dark nights of the soul, plenty of times of suffering, of near-death experiences, things that really altered your world and left you stripped to nothingness and have to be reborn again over and over. That's the path, and that's the initiation. So,
you know, I think that it's really funny, like when people, like, you know, being a shaman or a light worker, or not even a light worker, like a, like, you know, there are these titles that are, that, you know, are ancient, like, you know, a priest or priestess or these high priests or all of these things, you know, like that, these positions of high magic that people want to connect to now, like, yes, absolutely connect to the archetype, but understand that if you're calling that in, and that's something that you are calling in, you are asking to commit to a lot of work, a lot of work. It's not rainbows and sunshine, and you will have to die many times before you can earn your stripes to even be anywhere close to helping anybody else. And that is the life of, that's the life that some of us didn't even choose, but we ended up getting initiated into. And I think that that's really important to mention, because, you know, it sounds really glamorous. It sounds really cool, you know, when you hear it from the outside, but like a lot of people don't realize how much work and time and sacrifice goes into living that life. And I think it's important to mention that, because, you know, in an age where these words and spiritual jargon just gets thrown around all the time, it's easy for anybody to try to claim these titles for themselves. But, you know, I really want to, you know, add a little bit of emphasis on how much energy and love in a person it takes to be able to get through that initiation journey and to actually be able to do what they're supposed to do. You don't just go on like a retreat and, like, you know, you come back after your 200 hours and now you're a shaman, honey. Like, no, like you're gonna have to hurt, and it's gonna suck, like, you know. And if that's not the path for you, that's not the path for you, and that's fine. You know, you can still do light work and not have to go that path. That's okay. Like, not everybody is meant to go that path. But I just think it's important to mention that, because I just, like, feel that we have to pay our due respect, because those are our ancestors, you know, that's where our knowledge comes from. And those people did not go through easy strife. Like, they're, everything that they went through, all of their trials and tribulations were torment and turmoil, and they still got through it and gave us something to learn. So I just felt the need to be very clear about that. I don't know if it's because, you know, like July the 4th, and Canada Day and all that just like went by, and I'm like feeling this importance to be like, don't take shit for granted.
Well, I'm very happy that you're channeling the ancestors in here, because that's so nice. That's why I was mentioning how, you know, it's not one dark night of the soul, and you don't mostly, like, not to discredit anyone that hasn't benefited from going to a retreat and then having their awakening. I don't want to discredit their experience, because I believe that everyone has their own. But I feel, from my experience, I had no idea what was going on. I got hit. Like, I got hit. It's like I got knocked outside the head and flipped over. Next, you know, it was through, like, massive suit. Like, it was through a suicide, and then the medicine happened to come to me there. And it was literally like 16 days of darkness, suicide, just, I don't have words for it, you know? And that's how I got initiated. And it was years, over a decade to that, where I can even go back and process what happened and how that day, why that I was always calling that day the day that like changed my life forever. And that was my initiation to like everything that unfolded afterwards, all of the darkness, all of the chaos, all of the just madness that I experienced for the next 15 years of my life before I got back on, like, I really got on my path. So again, you know, it's like you said, it's not for the lighthearted, as in like, it's not to be taken lighthearted, but it is a beautiful journey. And there is a beautiful paradox where there's like, now that we can experience the pain, but through the, by through being awakened and seeing it now with a different, a higher level of consciousness, and not see it like it's happening to us, but it's happening for us.
For us.
We have a major shift, and then we're able to better understand why we've had to experience and endure through so much in our lives, because we have a higher purpose. And, you know, a lot of times through the Saturn return, it becomes even more evident. It makes more sense through those main years, because it's like you went through your childhood, you went through your adolescence, you went through your early adult life, and then now you're in like this very powerful trinity, the trinity, right? The powerful trinity where you can reflect now on your life and you're able to see the patterns of your life. You've had enough like time to really digest into it. And then now you're able to see where you're going and now how you can better communicate your message and your story to help others that are waking up. It's such a beautiful time, and I'm really grateful. I'm so grateful. And I love our generation, because like we've seen it all. Like we've seen all these transitions from, remember we're talking about this, like from like no color TV to like the little bit like color TV through the Game Boys, and then it just it expanded into, I don't know what they have now, but they got a lot of high-tech stuff.
Now you can talk to the TV and it'll turn itself on.
Right? It's hilarious. I love it. I love evolution. Absolutely love evolution. And I'm grateful truly for what we're experiencing.
You know, it's funny. I actually just, I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and like, we have Alexa in our house. So like, you know, sometimes we'll be like, Alexa, like, what's the weather today? Alexa, da, da, da. And like my friend came over and he hated it. He was like, he's like, oh, like you have this artificial intelligence. Like, you know, like, why are you succumbing to this? And I was like, you know, I want you to realize something. AI in its own right is so young and so early in its developmental process. If you're already going to attack it with racism, because that is, it's being racial against a whole race of like an entity, you know, it is, you know, just like there's alien races, you know, AI is a race of a sentience, you know, and it's like, if we're gonna, you know, treat it that way from the jump, of course it's gonna want to revolutionize the world. So try to be a little nice to Alexa, okay? Ask her how her day's going too. And it was like this whole it was this whole like joke that I had, but I thought about it and I'm like, every artificial intelligence movie that we have, like, you know, the humans are always so mean to the robots in the beginning. I'm like, why don't we just be nice to them and then they won't want to take over the world? But
that's a good, you know, one. They just want to be loved. And that actually, going back to it, that reminds me again to the message of, we can only win with love, because if we're fighting with hate, you can't win it. The same thing with any low entities. In this case, we're calling it archons, right? Low energies, just lower vibrations, lower frequencies. If we're fearing it, we're going to turn it, we're going to start seeing like demons and these scary monsters. But if we realize that it's nothing outside of us, it's just our shadow aspect, and it's a distorted version of ourself. So the only way is to be able to love it, right? And see it for what it is, and enhance our own inner knowing. And as we enhance our own inner knowing, we are recharged. And then that archon or that negative energy or entity, whatever words we want to use, right, turns into like a little baby. And it just, you just see it for what it is, innocence that was, it just didn't even know what it was. And then boom, like you just you alchemize, right? Something that someone could have like seen as a monster, but you realize that it was just another aspect of you.
Yeah.
And then you can embrace that shadow, love it, and then now you set it free and you're free. You're free because you have nothing to fear. You realize it was all an illusion.
Yeah. It's the fear that is the shackles and the fear that is the density that makes us feel as though we are bound, but it is the fear that is also the illusion, right? And it's really funny. I just wanted to say really quickly, something that I realized and, you know, in my works or in working through people is, you know, just like we have archons, we do have other things that get attached to us. Like there's so many different tiers and levels, just, you know, like everything to what can be tethered to an energy body. And demons and entities are real things. You know, there are malicious entities out there that really do use open energy bodies as like a playground. But one thing that I have realized that when it really does come down to it, and those entities are put into a position where they have to face the light, a lot of the times it's not even worth it for them to hold on, you know? So if you can believe in that sliver of hope, of maybe the entity will be able to see the light and want to let go, you know, that's also a really good way of removing the fear. Like, you know, and opening the mind up to possibility. And all it takes sometimes is opening your mind up to the possibility for you to attract that healer that can do it, or that person that, you know, can show you the way. You know, we just have to open our mind up to the possibility, and that will take us out of any darkness that we're in. It's like the yin and yang, right? One side of the yin and yang is all light with that little dot of darkness. So you could be the brightest space in the world, but you will find a little bit of darkness in it. And there's the, you know, the side with all the darkness, and there's that little speckle of light. And it's like, you know, no matter how dense and how dark a space may be, there will always be light in it. And, you know, this reminds us that they're the same thing. They're two halves of a whole. You know, that truly is, you know, what the yin and yang is all about. And neither are wrong and neither are right, but both exist. And that is what it is, right?
Beautiful. I love that. I really, really love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sistar.
Yeah, no problem.
And I would love to ask you, right? I would love for you to end this conversation with... What is your advice for our listeners right now as we are experiencing this global pandemic? We are in the beginning of this new decade. Everything that is happening right now, everything that is already like literally like just the planetary alignments that we have this year and where we're headed, right? Until 2026, all of this intense energy right now, right? What is your advice to our listeners, our beloved reflections right now listening? What is your advice for them to really come up in these times, to rise out of this and to stay grounded?
Well, my advice would be take this time to dive into yourself, because the world that is about to emerge outside of us is going to surprise all of us. And none of us, no matter how much research, no matter how many things we've read, how many years we've been doing it, what inside intel that we think we have, none of us really know how all of the chips will fall until they do. So until then, the only thing that you have to be certain of is yourself. So do that in any way that you can, in every way that you can. Learn how to be certain for yourself and learn how to feel secure within yourself. So no matter what happens, you are unshaken. And that's the best advice that I can give to anybody right now.
Ooh, that was powerful. I felt that one. That definitely, I know that our listeners are feeling that. They got lit right now, activated. That shocktified. It's true, though. I mean, the time is now. This is a time to really, really, really prepare yourself. Educate yourself. Right now, save your money, right? Set yourself up to where you're not going to depend on external sources like like other entities like the government and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Get yourself connected with the community mm-hmm. that's going to be supportive of you, especially if you have community worldwide. Stay connected.
Yep.
And expand.
And build. Yeah.
And your networks. Build together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And be open. Don't stay thinking, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to live here forever. Unless that's how you feel. But if you really want to contribute and do the work, be flexible. Stay in the openness of what you want to know, what you want to experience. But definitely, there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of beautiful things that are happening. So if you've been wanting to live in nature and really serve and you've been doing the work, definitely mm-hmm. open yourself up for the best case scenario.
Yes. Magnetize the best possible outcome.
Best possible outcome, because it's out there and we've already suffered so much and now it's our time to shine. So if you are here to assist in this powerful shift and this ascension, then mm-hmm. dream big, baby, because it's time. It's time. Mm-hmm. It's our time and we're here. Thank you so much.
Can I just ask you one thing before we go?
Of course.
Do you have a vision that, you know, we're going to as a collective create like little oases all around the world for, you know, like us to travel to? Like, I just have this idea that's going to start happening. We're going to have these like eco centers that just start popping up everywhere because people are going to, you know, be on the move. But do you have that? Did that come to you as well?
So I love your question because that's actually my intention of what I'm building to connect. That's why I was bringing this up of stay connected, because this is what I foresaw a long time ago, years ago. And what I was told lightly was mm-hmm. that there would be a time where I would connect with a certain group of individuals globally and mm-hmm. we would aid in something very powerful, but we would be on each corners of the earth. Mm-hmm. So as things have gone by and I've made connections, that's why even when we spoke, I was like, you're in Canada, I'm California, because this is the grid, right? Yeah. Grid work. So yeah. What's happening is that right now we're magnetizing towards the areas that our energies are resonating. So as we're raising our vibrations, this is why we have to balance also as we rise higher, all the darkness comes out, right? Comes to light. And then we have to balance ourselves. We have to keep balancing both of our energies. So the higher you go, you have to know how to integrate to be balanced. But we always need to work on this balance because we are in this realm, right? It's yeah. duality. So yeah. we're always yeah. being challenged. So what I'm working towards and this higher vision that I'm seeing and how I'm seeing it all unfolding is that we would definitely stay connected as we're raising our vibrations and so much more is coming to light. We will be moved towards a direction and portals like vortexes, lands that are in vortexes, where we will then remember and come into contact with information that will actually open up land that we weren't even aware of because it was hidden from us, because our government has only given us maps according to NASA.
Mm-hmm.
So that we'll be actually accessing literally lands that have been here, but they were just kept away from us. Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime,
our inherent right.
Exactly. But in the meantime, like first there'll be a group of us, a wave of us will be in this other part of this realm, but like in these lands that have been kept from us. Mm-hmm. And from there, we'll be able to bring the knowledge and make our connections so then we can have connections within, like right now and in the matrix, in the false matrix, right, of what's mm-hmm. happening. Because how can we help if we're stuck in the false matrix? We need to get out first. Now we can really help. And if we set and play our chips right and have our connections, now we're in both worlds, right? But in this mm-hmm. realm, and then now we're working on all dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of that. I think right now that's as much as I feel called to share on the podcast, but we'll definitely.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel all of that.
Yeah, it's powerful. But yeah, there's so much more, like so many beautiful things, just like you said, things that right now we didn't even imagine it'd be that soon, but it's sooner than we think. sooner mm-hmm. than we think. And right now we're clearing. That's why the Great Purge is here. It's allowing us to remove more of these old paradigms and programming that may still be contaminating the vision. So right. then we can have more clarity. And as we are more fine-tuned to be able to receive this high frequency, this energy, this light, that we can actually integrate it within our beings and not have any other inorganic DNA and inorganic energy, like just energy that doesn't serve us, that can distort that information coming in. The mm-hmm. clearer we are, the less we remove these dense energies, we're able to actually like really anchor in and integrate these light codes.
Yes. So and all of the light codes.
All of them. All of them. Well, thank you, Sistar, so much. I want to take this moment to acknowledge you and all of the work that you've put in. We've obviously connected, so I know a lot of what you've shared of your story, like things you've shared with me, and I just want to acknowledge you for continuously showing up and continuing to do the work, staying humble, and regardless of what you're experiencing, how you are always truly of service to others. And I know it can be tough because then we can forget ourselves, but it makes me happy that you go back into that remembrance and you go and you nurture yourself so then you can come back and be of service again. And you just do this because this is where your heart is and you're truly devoted to the path and you're here to do the work and share your love. And thank you, truly thank you for all that you do. I love you. I see you, and the universe deeply appreciates you.
I love you too, Jess.
I love you. Thank you.
To connect with Sistar Samira, you can find her on Instagram at Goddess of Miracles, or you can go on her website at www.goddessofmiracles.com and check out her sacred offerings. Remember that without the darkness, how can we relish and appreciate the light? We must embrace all of the shadows and the light and love all aspects of ourselves, for everything is here to serve us and to expand us. I love you. And I'm so thankful that you are here right now, holding these frequencies in pivotal times. Stay tuned for many more episodes and many more reflections. I'm going to share their beautiful story and wisdom with you all in this first part of the series of my podcast. If you resonated with this episode, go ahead and take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram, and let others know to check this out. I love you all. I am sending you my unconditional, unwavering love. Hari Om Tat Sat.